not fear no evil, because I'm blind to it all. In my mind, in my gun, they comfort me, because I know I'll kill my enemies when they come. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell on this earth forevermore. Said I'll walk beside the still waters, and they restore my soul. But I can't walk on the path of the right, because I'm wrong. Well, I came upon a man at the top of a hill. He called himself the savior of the human race. Said I come to save the world from destruction and pain. I said, I can you save the world from itself?
Talking Music, I'm Allie Lightfoot. That was singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Sean James with his song Through the Valley. Sean was in Grand Junction last week to play at the Mesa Theater, and I had a chance to speak with him before his show. You performed in several different incarnations throughout your career. Can you talk about what you're doing now, what your whole performance is like as you're touring on this round?
Yeah. This one is it's more focused on the solo records that I've put out in the past, but also featuring a violin player, Sage Cornelius. And it's a mixture of, I like to call, raw old blues, haunting folk, and then powerful soul music. So, you know, with that, it's a very intimate but also intensely emotional show. And in the past, and we still have the other iterations of what I do as well, you know, the Shapeshifters are more of a heavy rock and roll band. And then, you know, sometimes we'll have different interpretations of stuff, just because I hate being a one-trick pony in music. And I like kind of mixing it up and doing something new. It's kind of inspiring in general.
So you grew up on the south side of Chicago and ended up in Arkansas with the band that you mentioned before, Sean James and the Shapeshifters. How did that happen? And they're such different places, you would think.
Right.
But were there similarities in those two, in where you were living in Arkansas and the south side of Chicago? And what were the differences, I guess?
I would say no, not very many similarities, to be quite honest. You know, growing up in Chicago, I loved it, but I was only used to that one vibe of a place and existing there and doing all that. So I wanted to do something different in general. So I just wanted to try a new area and a new place, and the South was very different from where, you know, Chicago was. And I had lived in Florida and Tennessee before then, but really how I got to Arkansas was that I had a friend who I was in a band with in Florida, and he was from Arkansas. He was always telling me about it. He said, you should come visit, spend some time with me and my family and friends. So I did that, and I kind of fell in love with it in a different way. You know, it was just very different from anything I had ever been used to. And there was Fayetteville is kind of the college town in Fayetteville with the U of A in Arkansas. And so it had this very small arts community. It was very well taken care of and just had a youthful vibe. And the cost of living was extremely cheap. And it was center of the U.S., so when touring started, I could kind of go from one end to the other and not have to go across the whole U.S. to do it. So it was partially because of the person I knew there, and then partially strategic. And that's kind of how I ended up there. I just went to visit him, and I kind of fell in love with a small-town southern vibe that it had.
Mm-hmm. And so when people say they're from the south side of Chicago, they always say it like they're wearing it like a badge of honor. What can you talk about what the South Side of Chicago is like?
I think the badge of honor thing comes from it being the rougher side of town. A lot of poverty, a lot of industry workers, and you know, my father was a metal worker in Chicago, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but I would call it, you know, the north side is like the nicer side, and there's a lot more money and nicer atmosphere and less crime and everything. And the south side is just, it's the side that builds character, I like to call it. But at the same time, it's a lovely side too if you know the right people, and it's got the most character out of all of Chicago. I feel like that's the real Chicago in my honest opinion. And that's why I think you see a lot of people wearing it with a badge of pride, because when you come from somewhere like that, it imprints on you. You know, you don't forget the hard times, and growing up in the rougher areas, it stays with you, you know, and kind of gives you a base of which to appreciate other areas that you might not have been used to, you know.
It seems like it has a history too that, I don't know, a lot of amazing musicians have come from that part of Chicago, a lot of activists, mm-hmm. a lot of rappers actually, mm-hmm. right?
And you know, and that's something with artists, activists, and musicians and stuff. I find that my favorite ones come from a hard place, and by dealing with the daily routines of being in that, you know, rougher area, it kind of inspires or maybe causes the artist to need an escape from it and like a therapy to deal with it. And so for me, how I got started, you know, I had this natural vocal ability talent, but then I really used it as a therapy for myself and as an escape, to be honest. And that's kind of how it grew to what it was for me. And so, yeah, I think a lot of really good musicians and activists and people come from there because of the characteristic of what the South Side is. You know, the Southwest Side is kind of coupled with that as well. Yeah.
So you were talking about your voice, which is definitely stands out, I would say. It's been described as soulful roaring. Someone described it that way, thunderous and primal. Somebody else said it's literally like it's being torn out of your heart. People are going to hear your voice, so they'll know what that means. But it just seems like one of the best voices for rock that you could get. And I'm wondering when you first discovered that you had that and what you do to develop it and kind of how you tap into that place that brings that forth, I guess.
You know, I wouldn't say that I had the roaring voice till I got a little older. What I started with was in gospel churches in the South Side, and I learned how to convey emotion and passion through music, because in the church that I was going to and the churches I went to, it felt like people were throwing their problems down and kind of dealing with it through the music. So it created this very intensely emotional thing that I learned how to convey through music, through being around that. And then I went, once my parents saw all that, there was a program for like opera and choir they put me in. And so I learned the fundamentals and the technical stuff surrounding the voice and how to control and create, coupled with the soulful gospel thing, kind of gave this unique marrying of the classical world and the more soulful world. And so I learned all that. And then in high school, I got kind of tired of all that. And I started getting into punk rock bands and metal bands and rock bands. And I started doing like vocal screaming and stuff like that, because it was something new and a challenge for me to try. And it was through doing that for a couple years, I got tired of that. And then when I went back to the more blues, folk soul thing, I found that I could combine what I had learned in the metal world and put a growl on a soulful voice, but not hurt myself while doing it. So many people ask me, how do you do this every night and not tear your voice or lose your voice? And, you know, I compare it to a bodybuilder lifting weights. You know, the voice is a muscle. And just like a bodybuilder who's can bench 300-400 pounds, they don't do that right when they start. It takes time to get there. And that's kind of how I explain it. But that's really how I feel like I got to where I am now. It's marrying all of those different musical experiences and kind of teachings that I've had and mixing them with the newer stuff that I learned now to kind of become this combination of all of them. And that's really what I am now. I'm a combination of soul, blues, folk, gospel with a little bit of metal growl in there that I know how to control. And it's a fun thing, but I definitely see it as unique. I don't really see many other vocalists being able to do that without hurting themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you were talking about how you add the like rock growl to soul and blues. And I was thinking about soul music. I mean, the whole thing behind that is that it's supposed to come from your soul, and it works so well with what you do. I think it those two things go really well together, but you're not used to hearing it that way. Yeah, the other thing that I noticed too is that because there's a lot of videos of you mm-hmm. performing solo.
Right.
You really do the solo thing great. I almost feel like when you're in a band, it's not fair to the other.
No, I already know what you're going to say. Are you going to say that it kind of covers up the voice and kind of it's almost too much layers around it and you can't really appreciate the voice? And I understand. And, you know, and I wouldn't disagree with you on that, but for me to be happy as an artist, it goes back to that one trick pony thing, is, you know, by me doing the heavy rock and roll thing with all these layers and it's loud and sometimes my voice gets lost in it, it inspires me to create some of the acoustic stuff, and vice versa. By doing so much acoustic and all that, it inspires me to want to go back and do the heavy rock and roll thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a balance, a give and take thing for me. And I wouldn't say that I love one more than the other, but I definitely feel a little bit more emotion and passion from the acoustic side, just because it's kind of how I grew up and kind of the base of, you know, my musical ability, I guess.
Spread your wings fly, leave the past behind. The dawn will birth a brand new light. So fly on and never back from where you came. The sky opens up and it's calling out your name. Cause all you got is all. All you got is all that you need. I found myself amongst the thorns and weeds. You found yourself amongst the beautiful trees. We are not the same, Lord, we are not the same, Lord, we are not the same, Lord. I gotta blow like the wind, blow like the sea, deep down inside of every part of me. My heart is spinning for the freedom to stretch out my wings. Now with every move I make, every breath I take, my mind's been worrying about where to stay. But I just gotta let them go.
The song Midnight Dove from Sean James. I spoke with him last week before his show at Mesa Theater. So you toured Europe recently too, right? Were you there last month?
We were there 8 months last year.
Oh, wow.
8 months. And then before that, we had done a month basically every year for the past 4 years. But last year we did 8 months and it was a blast and we loved it. But it might have been a little too much in the sense of oversaturating over there and we didn't do enough for the U.S. Mm-hmm. So this year we're balancing it out and really focusing on touring in the U.S. and stuff like that. But we love Europe. They treat us so well and it's just crazy to say that I've been to 17 different countries over there and played shows and I have friends they have all over there now. So it's a wild thing to think about.
What country over there do you feel most at home in? I mean, that's a weird question.
You know,
but
it's
like,
not. It's not. The only one of the. I mean, okay, I'll just say it. Mainly, I would say Ireland and Scotland. I feel the most at home in, A, because I don't have to learn a new language, and B, because I just love the atmosphere and the scenic beauty and a lot of that old kind of legends and mythology and folklore that comes from there. I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff. So being there and that culture is very deeply affected by it. You can see it. So, yeah, I would say Scotland and Ireland are some of my favorites and I feel most comfortable in.
Did you do any playing in the pubs in that?
Yeah,
area?
We did. We did the UK, Ireland, Scotland, and we did a lot of pubs the first time we went over there, and even the second time. It's great. You know, there's a certain vibe over in the pubs that I don't know. I almost see it as a challenge sometimes, because sometimes in the pubs you get people just wanting to go there for after work, getting a drink and get rowdy with their friends, and that's great and everything. But I see it as a challenge because sometimes they won't pay attention to the music. So whenever I walk into a place like that, I'm always like, all right, let's see if I can get them to quiet down and listen to the music and pay attention. And not all pubs are like that, but the ones that are like that, I love it because it's just a fun little challenge for me.
The song Flow that you do, you said that you wrote that song during a time when you were deciding whether you should follow a path of stability and money or follow a dream. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what you decided, because you can sort of guess from the lyrics what you decided, but what did you decide and how do you feel about that choice?
I'm very, very pleased with the choice I did. And I was kind of deciding between a choice of, like you said, a career that had known growth and obvious stability, and I could plug away and just keep going at it and growing, you know, at a continuous rate. But it was something that my heart wasn't really in, you know. And it, in the end, I tried it for a while, and in the end, that was when I wrote that song. I was trying it. I was in the middle of doing that, and it was just this aching feeling every time. That was just like, something's not right. You're not enjoying it. And although it's, you know, everything that you thought you wanted, it's not. You know, you're not going to be happy. So it was that day I walked down to the river with a guitar, and that song, like I said, came out in 15 minutes, and that doesn't happen very often. Typically it happens whenever I'm going through something and I need to get it out, you know what I mean? So yeah, I made the choice to follow the dream, and now I think I'm better and more stable following the dream after years of doing it. It took a while, but after years of following it and struggling and everything, I'm finally in an area where I feel like I'm more stable than I would have been with the other one. So it's a massive blessing, and I feel really privileged and honored to be able to have made that choice and to be where I am now. And I hope it just keeps growing and keep hopefully affecting other people positively through the music.
Well, thank you. And I've been here with Sean James, who's playing at the Mesa Theater. Unfortunately, you missed the show because I interviewed him before this airs. But hopefully you'll be back through the area sometime soon.
We will be. We love Colorado, and we've got a lot of good people out here, and we will be back. Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
So this one's called Flow.
Up to find the earth was round one day, and all around the world now things begin to change. Never had I ever seen the sun, oh, rising way above the day to greet the dawn, and the earth shook beneath my feet, and the storm made to the light, and I you're gonna do when your ship starts to sink.
caught in a monster sea. You won't be able to think, and it's there.